So as many of you may have been planning for this trip, you've been looking at options of what to do in Alaska, and many of them involve flying and flying over. So this is going to be a really flyover, very brief orientation to what it is you're doing. So if I'm talking really fast, I'm trying to get it all in. But as Leslie Ann already pointed out, a number of these resources and materials will be online. If they're not already there, will be online very soon. And I'm standing here sort of on the shoulders of lots of others, especially those of us, the states that have been working with us, both on the non-MBS side as well as the MBS states who are also working. Most of our stuff is focused towards the non-MBS things, but the MBS folks are getting technical assistance as well. So I wanted to make sure that we included them in our discussion as well. So I'm going to give you a brief overview of the tools and techniques and some of the other things we're learning along the way. This is one of those slides most of you have seen many, many times. These are all the pieces of technical assistance that we're providing as part of this NMI process. It really covers almost everything from sitting down with folks to go through their case report forms, what's in their surveillance systems now, as well as what's in the message mapping guides themselves, to try and map and pull all of those pieces together, and then moves them all the way through the stage to really creating that message and helping to transport that to CDC. But as Leslie Ann alluded to earlier, what we're really focused on and want to talk about a little bit more is that building that capacity, because although a lot of folks will use technical assistance, there are still a number of states who have the ability to do this on their own, and building that capacity is really what we're about with technical assistance, is trying to move everyone forward so that it becomes faster and a little easier to implement over time by really having this transfer of knowledge as we go along. Trying to meet the needs of the states who, as I just mentioned, have various degrees of capacity, we've really looked to develop a model that looks across the board from everything where we can do on-site technical assistance, where we literally go to a site, work with them on a site visit, talk them through the process, look at everything, make sure everything's working, and continue to have that support, to the other end where it's really virtual. You may be only having very limited technical assistance. You need help with a Rhapsody route. You need to install a particular piece of something, or you're having an issue and you can't quite identify it, or help with vocabulary. And then everything in between. We're trying to really focus our technical assistance to match the needs of what the jurisdictions are looking for at that particular time, and are scaling our efforts to meet those needs as we go forward. Here's my nice slide that's coming soon. It's been a busy time, as Leslie Ann alluded to. We've got a lot going on. So we're hoping to be launching our NMI Technical Assistance and Training Resource Center within the next month or so. We're hoping to do it by the middle to end of July. And within that resource center, and here's a sneak preview, as some of you may have seen, it really will help jurisdictions on their own go through the entire process from pre-onboarding, which includes that technical assistance and message development, to the onboarding process of what it is that we'll do to bring your messages in and switch over to that next thing where they cut over to production. So turning off your legacy systems and moving into the production environment. And then we also want to continue to provide support post-production so that we can learn lessons from others and continue to support as we learn more practices and better ways of doing things, that we can share those with other jurisdictions who are coming along the way. On that NMI Technical Assistance Resource Center, there will be a number of different tools that are available, but there are a couple on this slide that I really want to point out. With MVPS, we will have a dashboard, and that dashboard is really a way in which jurisdictions can see what has been received by CDC. It will provide you feedback on your messages for errors and warnings that may have not processed. It's really a response for us where messages used to sort of, for lack of a better term, go into a black hole. You sent them, you sort of knew they got there, but there wasn't a lot. There was a little bit of response from FNMS, but not a lot. This is our way to try and give jurisdictions a much better feel for what's going on with their messages so they can see what's there. In order to have access to that MVPS dashboard, you need to have SAMS, and you have to have level 2 SAMS. So if you have EPI-X, you have access to level 2. But if you've just been using SAMS to transmit your NETS files, you only have level 1. So we're really encouraging you, if one of these things that folks can do as we're kind of moving out is to really go to our website and try and get your staff that will be working with NMI, including your program jurisdictions, program EPIs, to get access to this dashboard so that they can have access to that information. Technical assistance is coming soon. Up to this point in time, we have been providing technical assistance, but it's been pretty limited, and it's really been with the pilot jurisdictions. And part of that was strategic on our part. We wanted to learn from the pilot so we could build our tools better, make sure we had that jurisdiction input as we were doing things. And we also don't want to get too far ahead of the curve. The last thing we wanted to have happen is develop messages and have them set there for a year or two before something could be submitted to CDC. In August, we will be soon launching a request form that will help you kind of fill out the information to request technical assistance, and we'll kind of gauge where you are within the process. And once you kind of complete that, if you send it in to edx@cdc.gov, which that should be burned in your brains. If it's not yet, please do have it burned in there. That's really our one-stop shop for questions as we're going along so that we can understand what's happening and where it's going. And once that assessment is done, we'll assess it, we'll evaluate it, we'll come back to you and kind of see where you fit within the scale of where we are with things that are queuing up, how much our resources are. I wish we had all the resources in the world, but we don't. And so we'll move to that direction. The other thing I wanted to touch on a little bit briefly is we've noticed that arboviral, we've taken a slightly different route. And so I know reviewing the applications, a number of folks, given the emergence of it and an important issue, are wanting to implement the arboviral message. We also want to make sure, though, that we're still getting good quality data and that there's no disruption in that data transmission, especially during the summer season. So we've sort of developed an approach along with the arboviral program of what we're really going to do in terms of providing technical assistance to implement the guide. It's going to be very strategic and targeted. Initially, we're really going to limit it from the migration to the 1.3 guide, so those who are from 1.2 to 1.3, and to prepare to migrate over, and the rest will help to prepare to migrate over. And so we're really looking at folks that are in the 1.2 and folks that are using MBS, where the message is a little different there. And it will all kind of be contingent upon making sure you have your business processes in place, because there's a lot of changes that need to take place at the state level in terms of how things are handled within, in terms of how arboviral messages are transmitted, whether the information is all included in your surveillance system and working to build those things in that are needed, and the availability of our staff at Fort Collins. So basically, I'm going to leave this here. It's in here as a big thing, but these are the steps that you can do and take, and that's the reason why it's recorded, and so that you can look back on it later, and we've covered this a couple of times before. What I really want to spend some time with, there are a number of folks in the audience, and if you're a pilot site or a pilot state, can you raise your hand? People are helping, so people will know. These are the people you need to look out to and reach out to. They're the ones that you can get the lessons learned from the horse's mouth. You want to hear from them much more than you want to hear from me. They're the ones on the ground that can provide you a lot more information that are there. But here are just a few of the lessons that they've shared with us over the time that we've been working with them, and there are many, many more that we'll learn and develop along the way. But what you can see is a lot of them talk about having dedicated staff for NMI and the processes as they're doing it, having people that are there and dedicated, making sure that you're reaching out to the technical assistance team and using them as a resource as you're going along can help out a great deal. I love Michigan's example. Have things early and often so that you can use that along the way. I also want to share some of the same information that's from Minnesota and New York, and the implementation spreadsheet, which is one of the tools they found to be very helpful in New York. Oregon as well is the same way of engaging those epidemiologists. So with that, what I really want to do, and I have two slides of these, as you can see, it really has been a cast of thousands who has helped us out along the way in this process, and though there wasn't time to put them all in that front opening slide, but these are all the folks that are really helping us as part of our technical assistance teams on our side. And more importantly, the folks that are our state partners, because there's no way, and this is only a small group of the state partners, because there's clearly no way that we could get this information done and get all of this data that we need to address our health needs without you. So with that, I will turn it over to Sandy.